welcome to Breaking Par in Business. I'm your host, Rich Bartolotta, owner of Schooley Mitchell Atlanta, and we are the largest independent consulting business in North America that specializes in helping businesses improve profitability by reducing telecom and merchant services expenses. And a unique aspect of our business model is that we work on a contingent fee basis, which means that our fees are a share of the savings we generate. So business owners really take no risk in working with us. We've been in business since 1980 and saved thousands of clients almost $250 million. Now, as any golfer knows, breaking par is a great accomplishment. The U.S. Open is underway at Oakmont Country Club this week, and I suspect there will be many golfers that will not break par. At Breaking Par in Business, we're going to feature those businesses that are the best at what they do and focus on what makes them so successful and unique. I'm delighted to have on our program today McCrae Kane, founder of Blue Key Interactive and Chief Operating Officer of Barter Media Group. Welcome, McCrae.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm also excited to have Jonathan Sparks of Sparks Law Group. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for having me.
All right. So on today's program, we're going to focus on mergers and acquisitions, but we're going to aim this discussion at small to mid-sized businesses. And I started my career many, many years ago at IBM, and I worked for a number of different Fortune 500 companies. And I've had the opportunity over the years to be involved in different M&A transactions and from a lot of different perspectives. And these transactions can be very complex, but I think if you step back and simplify it, it's not that overwhelming. So today we wanted to talk about M&A, and I think if you break it down into three components, why, what, and how a transaction takes place, that's what we're going to talk about today. So why, to me, really is the strategic aspect of the deal. And that could be geographic expansion, it could be access to new products or services or technology, or maybe just being a better owner of assets that are involved in the transaction. The what really focuses on the transaction itself. So what type of deal are we talking about? It could be an asset purchase, it could be an equity purchase. The deal process itself has a memorandum of understanding, it may have a due diligence phase. So that's really the what. And then the last aspect is really the how. And to me, that's the fun part. The deal is closed, now you've got to work to keep your clients happy, you've got to work to integrate two different businesses and drive the associated benefits. So we're just going to kind of focus on that today. And we want to start our discussion today with McCrae, since Blue Key Interactive recently went through an M&A transaction. So McCrae, again, welcome. Why don't we just start our discussion? Tell us a little bit about Blue Key Interactive and how you guys came to be.
Sure. So Blue Key Interactive is an internet marketing company that mostly focuses on the web presence of a business in general. So that means making sure your brand is maintained, making sure that your core values and everything about your company is represented properly, whether it be through your website or through your social media networks, for any kind of video production on the internet, really anything online dealing with your company, your brand, and your services. We came to be, it was kind of a long story, but we were at a company previously to Blue Key Interactive where played a significant role in its growth. And throughout the process, our visions for where we wanted the company to go didn't quite line up with the current company at the time. So I decided to break off and start my own company. And in that process, some of the team that I'd worked with decided they wanted to come with me. And some of the clients that I had brought to the company through freelance work before that job, they also came with me and became a loyal client of mine to help me be funded. So Blue Key Interactive was 100% client funded. And one of my initial objectives when starting a company was to find funding and investment. That was quite the challenge outside of course, operating and building the company and making sure things are maintained and growing it in general. I was hunting investment and funding. So I tried a couple different routes, one being, you know, the banks, but as a service providing company with no assets, it's really hard to get anybody to throw money away. So make a long story short, I was looking around for different options and talking to some other companies that were in our industry, but not exactly offering the same services. And then I eventually found Barta Media Group, who was a direct competitor of ours, and approached him. And we started talking about what we had to offer and kind of his visions and his goals and what he wanted to take his company into being. And we had quite a good relationship and decided that joining forces would be a good idea.
Okay, that's great. So let's focus a little bit on the merger with Barter and you know, touch a little bit more on the why of the transaction. And maybe if you could talk, McCray, a little bit about just maybe culture and fit. I mean, I think personally that's so important, you know, that two companies coming together have a common view of really what they want to be and mesh their cultures together. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Culture is extremely important in the success of any company. I do believe that to have happy customers or clients, you have to have a happy team and happy employees. You know, the people who are actually servicing the clients and servicing the customers are the ones that need to have smiles on their faces, and they need to be genuine smiles, because then they put the motivation and the effort into it to actually go that extra mile to put the smile on your clients' or customers' face as well. So the culture of any company is crucial to success, and especially in a merger situation, being able to bring two people together, you're marrying two families in a sense, and you want to make sure they get along quite well. So how we went about that was Jason Barta and I, we had a lot of conversation independently, and then we slowly started to introduce specific team members to each other to see how they get along, if they like each other. Sounds kind of like a marriage, but it really much is similar to that, to see if their philosophies were similar, how they would talk or work with each other. And, you know, so we did that first, and then we ended up deciding to share offices. Luckily, Barta Media Group was between offices, and we had an office at the time, so we had all these different agreements, thanks to Jonathan Sparks, as far as non-disclosures and letters of intent, so we weren't able to, like, take each other's clients or anything, because we weren't fully a company that merged at the time, but we decided to do some office sharing situations so they can get along and see if it would work out or who would be interested in the process. So luckily, which I don't think this is common, but luckily the teams meshed together perfectly. They got along just fine. Their attitudes were very similar. Their philosophies on work ethic and team were exactly the same. So it was quite an easy process for us to mesh the cultures together.
Okay, that's great. So maybe let's just turn our attention now to the what of the transaction. I certainly don't expect you to go into a lot of the, you know, legal details of how you structured it, but maybe just give us a sense for, you know, what you guys did and how you used maybe outside advisors in the deal itself.
Absolutely. So in a situation like this, everybody's opinion is important, even if it's one that you don't use in the future. But the more angles and the more ideas you can get and the more opinions you can get, the more people who've been through a merger or have, you know, successful or failed in a merger, it's all that's extremely important. So I can't stress that enough. One of the significant players in our process was Jonathan Sparks from Sparks Law Practice, who's here with us today, as you guys know. But Jason and I, we're very similar. We have very similar ideals and philosophies on how we treat people and how we do business. So we got along just great. We met each other like, hey, let's make this work. Let's just go forward and push. We'll figure it out. That's kind of how we are. Both of us kind of go-getters in that aspect. So we brought Jonathan to the mix and said, hey, let's do some, you know, kind of put this on paper. Let's make this work. Let's go. Well, Jonathan said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's a little more wise than both of us combined and said, let's make sure we've addressed everything you guys might, you know, encounter in the future and things that might be of concern. So he really set us down and started asking us questions and started putting scenarios on the table that Jason nor I had ever thought about and didn't know to think about, which if there's anybody who is looking to do a merger, if you don't use Jonathan, use a business attorney. It's extremely important because they have been through this. They do know the circumstances that might come up. For any relationship, regardless of business or not, you want everybody to be happy. You don't want to look up a year from now and say, oh, I didn't realize this was the situation. Now I feel cheated. Or vice versa, you get a leg up on somebody, because then it falls apart. So as long as everybody can move forward happy, and as you grow and things come by, you didn't feel like you undersold yourself or anything like that. So Jonathan played a key role in that and helped us really put together scenarios and ideas. And over it probably took us probably 4 or 5, maybe 6 months of just back and forth and going around and meeting and meeting and meeting. And then we think we'd come to a conclusion and then something else would come up and be like, oh, I didn't think about that. So make a long story short, that was a key help with us, and also everybody else involved with their opinions and business advice and consultants that came together and put together through Jonathan's work. It all came together that way. So,
okay, great. Just a quick break here. This is Rich Bartolotta of Schooley Mitchell. We are on Breaking Par in Business, and my guest is McCray Kane from Blue Key Interactive, and we are talking mergers and acquisitions for small businesses. So McCray, maybe let's shift gears now and just talk for a second about the how, again, an important part of this transaction. It sounds like you and Jason, you know, have a great relationship. So how did you guys sort of set the tone for integration and, you know, how are you guys making and thinking about key decisions, you know, things like branding or operations or sales? I mean, don't have to cover all of those, just sure. more how you guys are kind of just driving the integration, which is so critical in keeping clients happy through the transition.
Absolutely. That's a great question. So with any merger acquisition, it's going to take time. You cannot rush it. Some take longer than others. I think depending, based on my experience now, depending on whether you are offering the exact same services or complementary services will affect how the merger takes place and the priorities of what takes place first and, of course, how long it takes. For us, we broke it down in really to three main stages. First was operations. We want to make sure that we didn't lose any accounts, we didn't confuse any clients, they didn't feel like one company sold out to the other and that they, you know, we're not going to have the people they worked with. That was extremely important for them. So when two brand names start popping up and you know, two phone numbers pop up, they're not confused at what's going on. So making sure we don't stop any work was number one. That would be the operations side of this. And then, of course, onboarding the team and showing them, you know, how the process works and picking and choosing the best of both companies and saying, here's how we do this, here's how you do that. Let's marriage it or let's, you know, pick and choose. So once we really established how all the processes should work, get everybody caught up on it, that was number one. Number two would be the administrative part, which is we're in right now. We merging bank accounts, merging merchant accounts, shutting down credit cards, migrating information, knowing how what software we're going to use as far as bookkeeping and payroll companies and things like that are all part of this process. And then the last stage is going to be the branding piece, which we're going to really wrap up at the end of the year. Although there have been pieces that have blended together because of different circumstances that require things to pop up sooner than later. But the main third piece is going to be branding, where we are rebuilding some of the Bartomeu Group website to really explain what's happened, what's going on, and how we're repositioning that company and who we are as a full team now, and making sure we update our logos and our seamless branding across all of our networks and social media networks as well. So,
all right, that's great. So I think you guys have been at it maybe about 6 months. So, you know, what's just at a high level, maybe, you know, one thing that's going really well and maybe, you know, any looking back over 6 months, maybe what's been a challenge for you, if anything? It sounds like everything's going pretty good, but I'm sure you're putting a positive spin on it. So there's got to probably be something that's been a little bit of a challenge or something maybe you didn't think, you know, going in. So if you just have any closing thoughts on that, that would be great.
Absolutely. So actually, it has gone quite well. It's been pretty easy. We, you know, Jason and I, because of the work that Jonathan put in, we both really understood how each one of our roles were going to play in this partnership and how we were going to grow it and what our full objectives were. Some of the things that I really wish we could have known, either really more things that we just didn't have experience in until we got to the point where some of the smaller parts of this, like for example, one thing that I wish somebody had told both of us was the EIN numbers are associated to a social security number and you can't really transfer certain things to other people's names as easy as you thought you could. So dealing with just the understandable bureaucracy of the banks, you know, how those processes take a lot longer to get smaller things done. So you end up dragging those things along with you and you throw them by the wayside, but they're important. So if I had had somebody who had been specifically through a merger like this, that could give me the detailed breakdown of here's how you got to do the bank accounts, here's how things you don't need to do, here's what you need to prioritize. That would have been nice, but mostly that's something that you get with experience and time, but nothing really bad so far, at least.
That's great. I think that's a great way to maybe end our discussion with you, McCray. I mean, it's sort of like bookends, right? There's the high level vision, right, of what mm-hmm. you guys want to do. And then the devil's in the details at the other end of the spectrum, which you just kind of described. And maybe it's not as exciting, but it's equally important, right? Because if Absolutely. You don't address those details, then you're going to make your transitions and interactions with clients more challenging. So thank you for that. I think that's a great perspective. Again, this is Rich Bartolotta of Schooley Mitchell. We're on Breaking Par in Business. We're talking mergers and acquisitions today. We just finished with McCray Kane of Blue Key Interactive. And now we're going to shift gears and talk with Jonathan Sparks of Sparks Law Group. And Jonathan, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rich. Really a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about Sparks Law and just how you guys came to be?
Well, Rich, I've always been a bit of a serial entrepreneur, like most of our clients, like McCray here for sure. And I went into law school with that end in mind. Started working at King & Spalding out of law school, and we were, like you were saying, representing other Fortune 500 companies from a legal standpoint. And I had a lot of friends and family and people that I had reached out to who had their own startup, small to medium sized businesses. And I realized that they really needed the exact same legal services as these Fortune 500 companies. I mean, the numbers are different, yes, of course, but every business really truly needs legal advice and counsel, and they weren't getting it. I wasn't really allowed to represent all of these clients while I was at King & Spalding, so that set up a bit of a problem. But when I left off on my own, I really wanted to figure out, I wanted to get a feel for the legal landscape that was out there. And what I noticed was that there was sort of two extremes and nothing in the middle. So on the high end, you had the traditional law firms like King & Spalding that, they want to create a false sense of omniscience, right? I mean, you walk into their office and everything you see is glamorous and, Roman columns, granite countertops, expensive leather furniture. And you're thinking to yourself, oh God, what's this going to cost me? And rightly so. I mean, they're trying to create that air so that they can, make you think they know everything and bill you for it. So you get high quality legal work. Those are actually attorneys for sure, but they're usually, their fees are not predictable. They're hourly based and they're not efficient either because, they're in and out of court and, they just don't care about small companies as much in my experience. On the other extreme, you have the fill-in-the-blank template-based legal services companies like LegalZoom, Rocket Lawyer, Legal Shield, all of these things. They are, I think people flock to them, business owners go to them for good reason, because they have very predictable flat fees, which I think is great. They are also incredibly efficient because you just put your names, into their little database and then they shoot you out this contract. You don't know who the contract was written for, and you don't know when the contract was written and what laws it was basing itself on and what the party's leverage was. You don't know any of that, but you get it immediately because it's a template. So they're hitting on two out of the three points that I think are important for attorneys. So they're efficient and they're predictable, but the quality is not there. So sorry for the long explanation, Rich, but I mean, when I set out on my own as an entrepreneur, I really wanted to ask my clients, what does the customer want? And we went back and forth. I had a lot of unique sort of fee agreements with my first clients just to really figure out, what can they afford? What's in their budget, and so that I could bring legal services to as many businesses as possible.
What a great idea. Building a business on what a client actually needs.
Right. Wow. Fantastic. What a concept, right?
Well, maybe, legal services, as everybody knows, are very, very broad. So I'm sure you guys specialize in certain areas. Maybe you can just talk a little bit about that briefly.
Sure. I mean, I think we believe that every business deserves and requires quality legal services. So, we believe that business owners should be in control of their legal budgets, just like every other part of their business, it's on me to put everything on their radar, to let them know, here's your legal vulnerabilities, here's your risk. What you choose to do with that risk is entirely up to you. Business owners know how to manage risk. That's all they do every day, especially startups. I mean, they take a lot of risk. And traditionally, lawyers, go out there and they try to overbill them. They try to fix every little risk thing, and they cannot afford to pay for those legal services. It's just going to bury them. So what we do is we just put them on notice, and then we leave the decision-making up to them.
Makes sense. So, you've got a great tagline, and hopefully I won't butcher it here, but our aim is to deliver valuable solutions to your business, not count minutes. So maybe you can explain to me as a small business owners in our audience a little bit more about your pricing model and just how your tagline translates to benefit for them.
Sure. Again, it kind of evolved from what the client asked for. 9 times out of 10. Just a week ago, I guess I should talk more about what we do. So we We usually use flat fees. 90% of the time people want flat fees, and that's great because it's predictable, it's turnkey. We're not inserting an extra margin in there to minimize our risk. We just, that's our cost. And it's value-based. We have very low overhead for our law firm. You're not paying for Roman columns and leather furniture, okay? So we have a very low office rent, and we'd like to keep it that way. So we're trying to be predictable, efficient. All of our turnaround time averages 1.5 weeks. And sometimes we work on the weekends if we have to. And it's, of course, value-based, so low cost.
Yeah, and this is Rich Bartolotta. We're on Breaking Par in Business. We're speaking with Jonathan Sparks of Sparks Law Group. So, Jonathan, maybe now let's just shift gears a little bit, talk about M&A or mergers and acquisitions, and just how can a firm like Sparks Law play a critical role in M&A for a small business owner?
Great question, Rich. I think it largely depends on what side of the transaction you're on. So if you're on the seller side, you want to maximize the value of that business. Okay, so what does that mean from a legal standpoint? That means minimizing their risk. Okay, that means contractually, wrapping everything up. So if they're planning to sell, you want to make totally sure that your employees are not going to leave the company after you sell if they don't like the new management. So you want to want to tie them up with some non-competes. You're going to pay them appropriately, but you're going to give them some non-compete agreements. Yeah. Probably more importantly, you want to make sure that they're compliant with all of the regulatory laws out there. And there's a ton. So, Secretary of State things, you have, Department of Labor. You don't want them to get slapped with a Department of Labor audit at any point because it's a bad mark on your record. And, investors will see that and they'll know that this is a toxic business and there's no point in me buying it. Okay. Same thing with the IRS. So we go through their entire, database of contracts over the course of about a year, and we update everything, put everything on their radar, and we make it fit in their budget so that they can actually take care of themselves.
So when would a good point for an owner to get you guys involved in a transaction? I mean, my gut would say, or probably a lot of people say, I'm getting ready to do something. Let me bring somebody in. But maybe that's not the best time. Maybe it's sooner than that. But what's your thoughts on when to get you involved?
Really, what we're aiming to do is replace the in-house counsel tradition or bring it back. Okay. Because most businesses can't afford a real in-house counsel attorney. So I think knowing the job description of an in-house counsel is important. So what do? They review all of the legal documents and policies and for compliance issues, just what we were talking about. That's a lot of work, sure. They're there to answer questions. Entrepreneurs have a lot of questions. They have a lot of ideas. They're idea people. They're visionaries. And they need a lawyer that they can bounce those ideas off of and say, is this workable? McRae calls me all the time. So, and it's great. So, and they also need to advise their business owner clients on changes in the law. I mean, just recently, the Department of Labor had a major change. They changed it so a lot of previously exempt workers are now non-exempt anymore. So that's a big change, and business owners need to know that or they're going to get caught, okay? So our aim is to bring back the in-house counsel job at an affordable rate. So obviously, most businesses can't afford a six-figure salary with benefits and office space, okay? But they can afford $95 a month. Okay. And so that's what we do. We streamline everything. We do all three of those major tasks of an in-house counsel, and we charge $95 a month.
Wow. That's great. So, talking again about M&A, any great experiences you want to talk about with regards to M&A? Anything positive?
Yeah, I really enjoy it because it's still sort of the final frontier, I think, because business owners, they're unique, right? And they come up with unique agreements and ideas. And especially with McRae and Jason, I mean, they knew they wanted to do something together, but they didn't know how that was going to look. And they didn't know what it was going to be. So we sat down and it was a lot of meetings. It was a flat fee. So, no worries there, right? But it was a lot of meetings, and we asked a lot of questions, and we brought up a lot of contingencies that, yes, they hadn't thought about. And they came up with contingencies themselves. But what we ended up with, being albeit very different from the initial conversation and offers and things. What we ended up with was a very successful merged business that's going great. I mean, they're killing it out there. And, you know, we were able to discover the risk and spread it out and say, you know, who wants to take this risk? Who's going to shoulder that burden? And then you just assign it in a contract. It's easy stuff, but, you know, devil's in the details.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that, you know, one of the many things you brought to the discussion was not only great legal advice, but a business perspective. And that,
thanks.
You know, I think that's critical in any transaction. So, Jonathan, maybe concluding, I think I heard you say you've got predictable fees, counsel on call, delivering valuable solutions to clients. It all sounds great. What's sort of your ideal client in terms of maybe industry or size or whatever is most relevant to you?
I love serial entrepreneurs. I am one myself, and I get them and they get me. So we talk the same and we do the same stuff. So all business owners and investors, people that are cost conscious, you know, that are interested in what it's going to cost, and they appreciate a predictable rate. Most of our clients, our best clients, have had kind of a negative experience with traditional law firms. They got burned, you know, and understandably so. And they're scared to pick up the phone and call them because they don't know if they're billed at $500 an hour. And they know not to trust LegalZoom template-based companies. They know that the quality's not there and that's a major risk. Yeah, I mean, that's really our ideal client. I hate to say it, but all business owners, in my mind, need some type of legal services, you know, and we're out there to help them out.
Great. All right. Thanks, Jonathan. So in closing, I want to thank you, McCray and Jonathan, again, for being on the show. I hope our audience enjoyed getting a little bit more about your businesses and also our discussion today about M&A. If people want to learn more about Blue Key Interactive, please go to their website, bluekeyinteractive.com. To learn more about Sparks Law Group, go to Jonathan's website, sparkslawpractice.com. So thanks everyone for listening again. I'm Rich Bartolotta, owner of Schooley Mitchell Atlanta, your host for Breaking Par in Business. And to learn more about my business, you can go to schooleymitchell.com/rbartolotta. Have a great weekend, everyone.